to wrap up our Star Wars theme, Amir and I are dedicating podcast episode 6 to the Star Wars episode 6, which is Return of the Jedi. And for this, we are going to talk about a Jedi who left and came back eventually to his home planet of Boston, and that would be Curt Schilling. We're going to discuss a trade the Red Sox made to reacquire Curt Schilling with the Arizona Diamondbacks. You want to say anything about that, Amir?
Yeah, so I think we might also get into the fact that Curt Schilling may not necessarily be a perfect Jedi due to some of his character, as well as how he's been involved in a lot of trades that were not beneficial to the team that was letting him go, which is somewhat telling. But yeah, I mean, this was when he came back to the Red Sox, this was big. What happened that year was huge. It was like unprecedented. And yeah, so we can go in and just talk about who was traded. And essentially, the Diamondbacks sent Schilling to the Red Sox for Mike Goss, who never played in the majors, Casey Fossum, Brandon Lyon, and Jorge De La Rosa.
Yeah, and I'm thinking those are two left-handed pitchers and one right-handed, right? Brandon Lyon was a right-handed pitcher.
Yeah, and a guy who cares? He never played.
Yeah, yeah.
No offense, Mike Goss.
Yeah, and Fossum was, you know, he was highly touted in the Red Sox chain at some point, too, including in that trade to Arizona. And I do recall that trade happening and remember that Curt Schilling was kind of promising to bring a World Series back to Boston, the New England area. And, you know, it almost never happened too, right? They're down 3-0 to the Yankees and Dave Roberts steals the base and oh my gosh, it's like everything really turned around. So, and this is one of those Tim McCarver trivia things, but I believe at one point maybe that year or afterwards, Arizona had 3 Brandons on the team, and Brandon Lyon was one of those 3. So, Tim McCarver trivia, right? But it is funny because it seems like the players Arizona did get in return for Schilling really didn't contribute a whole lot. You know, Arizona definitely didn't win anything with those 4 players. And it's kind of like when the Phillies traded Schilling to Arizona, the guys they got back, Travis Lee and Vicente Padilla and I believe Omar Dahl, Vicente Padilla did okay, but yeah, there wasn't much return there. And I think there's been this knock on Curt Schilling that when his team isn't doing well, he is less motivated, and, you know, his ERAs have been okay, but they seem to spike up when he gets traded to a new team, and that team that he goes to seems to play a lot better. So,
yeah, I mean, Brandon Lyon, of the 4, at least for the Diamondbacks, Brandon Lyon ended up making the most impact. I mean, he was a closer for a while. In fact, I think they really banked on him to become a better player than what he really ended up being, and then he got injured. And Jorge De La Rosa is actually a pretty good pitcher now for the Rockies, but he ended up getting traded a bunch of times before selling and becoming a really good player with the Rockies.
And he may have had some injury issues too, at least with Colorado, I think. So, yeah.
But yeah, so it's
and Boston was a big disappointment. I mean, he just
And Mike Goss, well, you know,
in the minors. We had to look him up for the purposes of this podcast, so
let me see how he did in the minors for Arizona.
He
played until 2012. He left Arizona in 2000, but that year, that same year, Arizona let him go.
Right.
And
so he didn't even stick with the team.
No.
So.
He did not. He was actually an outfielder. And yeah, he had subpar minor league stats, subpar A-ball stats. So he was probably like just a throw-in.
Yeah, and You know, Curt Schilling, you know, another one. This is one of my favorite baseball trades of all time. And Amir and I alluded to this trade in an earlier podcast we did. You know, the Glenn Davis from Houston to Baltimore Orioles for Steve Finley, Curt Schilling, and Pete Harnisch. And it's interesting because Glenn Davis did nothing with the Orioles. He made a bunch of money, I believe. I think that was in, you know, he banked a lot of money. But of those three players that Houston got in return, Curt Schilling was really the last one to blossom. Mm-hmm. You know, Pete Harnisch, I think, made one or two All-Star teams. And Steve Finley began to really blow up after a while before he was traded with Ken Caminiti to the Padres. And Curt Schilling, his final season with Houston was as a long reliever, and he had a really good ERA, and he was traded to the Phillies, who made the World Series the year he was traded to them. So
he's been part of three World Series teams three different times, two winners.
Two winners, and also one co-World Series MVP with Randy Johnson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Even though Randy Johnson had three of the four wins, but, yeah.
It's funny, like, so the year that he came to Boston, he won 21 games. Mm-hmm. He came in second to the Cy Young Award.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure who won the Cy Young that year. I could look it up.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, he had great stats. 3.26 ERA, which was really good back then in the steroids era.
Yeah, especially in the AL, too.
Now, Johan Santana won the Cy Young that year.
Uh-huh, Minnesota.
Yeah,
yep.
Minnesota. And, yeah, so it's... And basically, Schilling became a hero with the blood on his socks.
The blood on the socks, or the ketchup on the socks, or you know, the red marker on the socks.
Yeah.
I don't know. Red socks, right? It had to be blood.
Yeah.
So.
And then after that, you know, they won the World Series again, right? But not with him.
Yeah, I shame on me, I cannot remember if he was on that second of these recent three World Series winning teams. I want to say he was, but he wasn't much of a contributor, but I may be mistaken there. I know that he is really, it kind of feels like a Curt Schilling show, right?
Yeah.
He's actually an interesting guy. You know, in this age where, like, athletes aren't outspoken, they're like, it's the, you know, the cliches. Curt Schilling is outspoken. I mean, he speaks his truth. He has the big Quest tech thing with the strike, you know, with the home plate umpire strike zone, and he is outspoken about his political beliefs. And you know, he filed for bankruptcy a year ago, I think. All the money he lost from the video game failures, and interesting guy.
Yeah, he won the World Series with them too in 2007 as
yeah.
well.
He probably wasn't much of a contributor, right? So, but he was. He technically got a ring. So,
It's kind of, you know, I don't know. He seems kind of like a guy that maybe I wouldn't be friends with. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe. I mean, I'm just looking at his public persona. But
yeah.
He's a great pitcher, and every time he left the team, the new team that he went to, he did really well for them.
Yeah.
And I love him just for the fact that he's been part of so many awesome trades that are really cool that we can talk about.
I know. He's given us a lot of material for today and also for future episodes.
Yeah.
You know, at least maybe the Glenn Davis trade.
But I think the special thing about him, too, is, like, he was drafted by the Red Sox, as you alluded to earlier.
Right.
And he came back and he won the World Series that all those Red Sox fans had wanted for, like, 100 years, over 100 years. And that's actually, it was less than 100 years.
Yeah.
Right, but
almost. The curse of the Bambino.
Yeah, and so he actually put the Bambino to rest. He exercised the demons.
He did. He did.
And that's actually really special. That's like Jedi coming back. So
that's
what he has in common with the Jedi.
Yeah, and, you know, he talked about later on in his career about how when he came up in the Red Sox chain that Roger Clemens was a mentor to him, and a lot of what he took with him on the mound and is stuff that he actually picked up from Roger Clemens. And, you know, initially when he told that story, I think it was to ESPN or something, he said, Wade Boggs taught me everything about pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And the reporter said, Wade Boggs? You mean Roger Clemens? He said, oh, yeah, I misremembered his name. Thank you. So, but Roger Clemens was his mentor coming up. And, you know, was it Mike Boddicker and Brady Anderson?
Yeah.
They were part from the Red Sox to the Orioles. Yeah.
I mean, that was like 1988. I'm really surprised that he would have ever met Roger Clemens.
Right, right. But, you know, knowing his attitude, like his kind of persona, even maybe as a youngster, you could see him kind of like, oh, I need to meet this guy. You know, I want to ask him for help, and yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, or even if he just wanted an autograph or something, you know, so.
Well, Wade Boggs put a ton of pitching, too, when he gave up some home runs to him.
Yeah, wasn't Wade Boggs, like, he was throwing, wasn't he a good knuckle? He could throw a knuckleball?
He might have pitched in the game, too. Yeah.
I know he ate chicken before all his games or something. Uh-huh. I know about that, but another thing about Curt Schilling, which is, this is actually a touching thing. I don't know if you've heard this, Amir, but my understanding is that every home game, or maybe beyond that, road games, too, so Curt Schilling's dad passed away when Curt Schilling, you know, wasn't too far into his career, or maybe even before, I don't remember, but, or maybe in the beginning of his career as a baseball player. And, you know, he left a ticket with an open seat, and that was like he saw his dad, like, sitting in, like a ghost of his dad would be sitting in that seat from, you know, coming from heaven. And it's actually a really touching thing. It's kind of refreshing, again, to hear an athlete kind of be kind of vulnerable like that, you know, when you around a bunch of jocks and stuff. But again, it's Curt Schilling. Yeah. He's outspoken about his political beliefs against the umpires. You know, when he retired, he wrote that essay or something online and said, this is why I am a Hall of Famer, right? He wrote that. He's really outspoken. And I love that as opposed to yeah, you know, one game at a time and all the other stuff and 110%,
which A-Rod. Is,
yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the polar opposite of A-Rod and so many others. And
I think he's also a really big, like, he was totally against, obviously, roiding. So he's actually, he spoke out against people who
hated roided. Barry Bonds, right?
Big time. And what's interesting, I mean, going back to his dad thing, that is pretty touching, but like, I'd get distracted if, like, I'm pitching, and then, like, I see somebody sitting in my dad's seat. He's like, oh, what the hell? Who's a, a jerk sitting in my dad's seat?
There's a guy sitting there. Don't you see him? No, I don't. Yeah.
That's not my dad. It's a different guy's ghost.
That's not your dad. That's your uncle.
Oh. Yeah. Your dad wasn't really into baseball as much.
That's not the ghost of your dad. That's the ghost of Roger Clemens' Hall of Fame dreams.
Yeah. Or is that the goat that, was it a goat? Oh, a goat is the Cubs one.
That's the Cubs, yeah.
It's Babe Ruth.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, I don't know, Curt Schilling, really interesting guy, and I felt bad when I heard about his bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's kind of a guy that's easy to dislike in many ways, too, because of the Red Sox thing, and because, you know, it's funny because we could praise him for being outspoken, but it's also a reason, like, people would, you know, put him down and not like him for being outspoken. Yeah. It's like, you just can't win sometimes, you know? So, it's just a shame. And, you know, I don't know about you, I'd love your opinion on this, Amir. I group about 4 or 5 pitchers in the same category.
Mm-hmm.
And this is based on lifetime starting pitching stats and also postseason stats.
Mm-hmm.
Curt Schilling, Jack Morris, John Smoltz, and there's one other guy that I'm blanking on now. But they're kind of like in that same mold, you know, like 200 wins, kind of, and 3 ERAs. Like, not quite Hall of Fame, but kind of the notch below for starting pitchers, great resume in the postseason. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. I definitely agree with you. They're all in the same category.
Yeah.
If I had to rank them, just not looking at stats or anything, I would say Smoltz is probably the surefire Hall of Famer. I don't know if he is a Hall of Famer, but
no, I mean, he may be eligible next season.
So Smoltz, I would say number one, and then I'd even go as far as saying that Schilling is probably higher than Jack Morris, even though Jack Morris, because Schilling just has been in the playoffs a lot more.
Right.
But definitely, like, in terms of composite, like, you know, mm-hmm. Baseball Reference has this thing where, like, players who are most similar,
right.
I think they'd always come up with those. I think you're right.
Do they kind of group them together?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I don't know, but I would say, actually, I have that up right now. I can look up who they grouped them with.
But don't forget, Jack Morris won the World Series with the Tigers, the Twins, and the Blue Jays.
Oh, my God, I forgot about
that one season with Minnesota. Oh, so, yeah. I mean, and, you know, we talked about Curt Schilling, he was been to, with multiple teams, but, you know, two of those teams did not win World Series.
That's true. That's right. Yeah, so...
Or, one didn't, the Arizona and Boston did, the Phillies didn't in 93.
You're right.
Against the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I totally forgot about the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
And Jack Morris by that time was not that good a pitcher, but.
Right.
But no, you're right. He won three World Series. I did not remember that.
And, you know, he's also the winningest pitcher in the 80s, I believe. If you like, you know, some people like that argument about your era, in your era, you were the greatest or something. Now, I think, you know, I think Mark Grace had the most hits in the 90s, but he's definitely not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But, you know, and plus the wins stat is, you know, it's not as important today as it once was. So,
I think, actually, you know, what's funny is, like, they actually do group Smoltz. He's in the top 10 grouping as the same as Schilling.
Okay.
Number one is Kevin Brown. Two is Bob Welch. Three is Oral Hershiser.
Ah, okay.
And then they have Tim Hudson, Freddie Fitzsimmons, Milt Pappas, John Drysdale.
Surprising.
I'm surprised, yeah. Bartolo Colon and Dazzy Vance.
Name. Bartolo Colon, he was the subject of one of our podcasts, folks.
That's right.
Yeah.
Go back and check it out.
Anything else, Amir, to wrap up the Curt Schilling trilogy here?
Thanks for doing it. This is actually really fun. Yeah. We're both book Star Wars fans and the end of the trilogy.
Yeah.
Hopefully the prequels will come. I don't know. Maybe the prequels will... It took a while for us to come up with the sixth episode, but the prequels might take a little bit longer. We'll probably divert and do some other topics.
Yeah, it may be impossible to work in, like, you know... Who was it? Chris Gwynn, that was his brother, but Tony Gwynn Jr. or, you know, Pete Rose Jr. or something.
Yeah.
He didn't really do much, but I'm sure we'll figure something else, or maybe we'll even do a theme not related to Star Wars or something. So, either way, we will be back with more MLB Trade History podcasts.